Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Smart Faith Podcast, coming to you from the middle of nowhere in West Texas. My name is Joe Sisk. You can email me at smartfaithpodcast@yahoo.com. Definitely check out revelationsradionetwork.com for all your podcast needs. CJ's put out a new episode recently, the Sword of the Spirit, with a guest, the guest star of John, I guess you could call it guest starring Johnny Iron of the Iron Show. It's definitely a fun podcast. It was really great to listen to. So I definitely recommend downloading CJ's stuff. He is the man, and he always does great work. So check out the latest Sword of Spirit, y'all. Also, I want to say thank you to for the donation that we have received here at the podcast, at Smart Faith Podcast. I was facing a real problem with some financial situations over things like bandwidth and paying for costs and stuff like that. And out of the blue, somebody stepped forward and made a hefty donation, and thank you, sir, very much for that. And I just really want to praise God that He answered the prayer and the need that the podcast had. And I really want to praise God for all His glorious mercies and everything. And I want to thank God, and I also want to thank our the kind gentleman that gave the donation as well, because it just seemed to come at such a perfect time when we needed it, and it really delivered us out of a situation that I was really worried about. So thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, sir. It's just awesome how God comes together and answers our prayers and brings things to be like He needs it to be whenever He wants it to be in His own time. And, it's an answered prayer, and I just really want to offer it up as a praise report as well. So, it's pretty awesome. I'm still recording on the laptop, so I had the whole situation going on. My living situation hasn't changed yet. Looks like what we're doing is waiting for everyone to find the new lodgings and new houses to go to, and then I'll go back and settle back into either my previous home where I was living, or I'm going to trade it off for a smaller, like, travel trailer kind of situation, something like that. I'm not really sure. I got some different options open to me. So I'm looking at that still. So thank you for all the prayers and support in that situation. If you want to continue to pray, I definitely would not object to it any at all, because, I always can use prayers. So, and if you have anything you would like for me to pray for you, email me, let me know. I would love to say a little prayer for you. I'm really shy about, like, being on the phone and stuff. But, if you call and, if you want to call and talk to me even, I definitely will go ahead. You email me and let me know, and I'll provide you a number and I'll get in, my availability time, and I'll give you a call or whatever. I'm really dedicated to try to give back to you guys, because you guys give so much to me, and I really love you for it. So, all right, let's go ahead. Well, before we get going, go ahead and definitely, if you haven't checked out the Ancient Aliens Debunked yet, definitely do so. Chris did an excellent job with that movie. Can't recommend it enough. It's definitely worth watching. So you can check that out at ancientaliensdebunked.com. Today's episode is going to be a little less of an episode, more of a discussion, and more of a list I found on the internet, which is a really awesome list. This list is titled, Do You Truly Love Christ? 100 Ways We Deny Christ. And I found it on thechristianpost.com. And it's an article written, you contributed here by John Dillard, according to the Christian Post website. So I want to go over this list of things, but this is not my list. I didn't come up with it. I'm just coming up with a commentary that comes along with it. So apparently this John Dillard came up with it, and that's cool. So I want to give credit where credit's due, but I think it is a good, make some good points. All right, so let's talk about 100 ways in which we deny Christ. Number one, we fail to regularly read our Bible. Alright, if you're not going to read your Bible, if you're not going to grow in wisdom and in the Word and knowledge of the Word, what's the point? Really, what is the point? You should be wanting to get to know your God even better, and the only way you can do that is through studying His Word. Number two, we do not accept Him as our Lord and Savior. We go, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a cultural Christian, or I'm a Christian because my grandma says I'm a Christian, but I don't know Jesus. I don't have Jesus with me. I don't have, Jesus in my heart. I don't, that's not, I just identify with a group, necessarily, which is what a lot of people do, and it's a really sad thing. Number three, we do not live like we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. You know, if you are going to get into it and do it right and be a Christian, you need to live like a Christian. You need to conduct yourself in a Christianly manner. Number four, we have a job and do not start a weekly Bible study at our office. You know, we need to spread the word to everybody, folks. Not just the people you like, not just the people on certain days of the week, not just certain people at certain addresses in certain parts of town on certain days of the week after a certain time. No, we need to be trying to spread the word to everybody we can as much as possible. Number five, we don't invite our neighbors to church. I actually have this as a bit of a problem myself. I'm looking for a new church home because of this whole situation that I've been going through, and I'm feeling like I need to find somewhere else to go to church, to be involved, and all that. And no one's inviting me anywhere. No one even talks to me. I don't know my neighbors. I don't know, you know, there's no, I'm going to have to just kind of commando it and just show up and just say, hey, I'm here, just check it out. Because no one invites anybody to church anymore, you know. Number six, we don't serve at church. A lot of people go to church to be entertained. A lot of people go to church to see who's wearing what, to see who shows up and who don't, to see what the social game is going on, to gossip, to backbite, to slander, to, be seen, things like that. Church is not about those things. Church is about serving God and worshiping God, not about you being entertained or you being served yourself. Number seven, we don't pray for others. We need to pray for ourselves, yes. We need to pray for others. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to pray for our friends. We need to pray for our politicians. We need to pray for everybody. We need to pray as much as we can, as often as we can, for about as many people as we can. Because there's so many people that need God's help. There's so many people that need guidance and wisdom, and God can help these people, and we need to pray for them. You know, like our nation's leaders, our local leaders, our state leaders. We have all these people that could use God's wisdom and guidance, and we need to be petitioning God to give it to them, that he guide them and lead them. Number eight. Jesus was not a mime. We think the way we live is enough. We need to be constantly working towards holiness and constantly working away from sin. You know, it's never good enough. You know, we need to always be seeking improvement. We are a chameleon Christian, bending this way and that. There is no bending. There is no chameleon Christian. The truth is the truth, and that is all the truth is the truth. I mean, I don't mean to sound crazy about it, but what I'm saying is what is the truth is nothing but the truth. And the truth, you need to be colored in the truth. You don't need to change your spots because of dogma or social pressures or popularity or, you know, what's being popular at the moment. You need to be colored in as truth, and you need to stay that way with no bending. Because if you're bending and walking a bending and winding path, you've got problems. You need to stop and think. Number 10, we believe there are shades of gray in our faith walk. There is no shades of gray. The truth is the truth, as I just said, to a quite comical effect, I imagine. The truth is the truth. You cannot bend the truth. You cannot change the truth. The truth, or else it's not the truth anymore. And there is no shade of gray. It is what it is. We believe some Bible stories to be just stories. That's number 11. We need to accept that the Bible is true. Yes, Balaam had a donkey to talk to him. Yes, David fought a literal giant. You know, any number of different things. Yes, Jonah was swallowed by a large fish, a whale, whatever you want to call it. You know, a marine animal, I would say for sure, you know. We need to understand that the events of the Bible are true. It is true from cover to cover. Okay? Number 12, we look to hang out with the in crowd. We need to be worried more about God than worried about the popularity of man and the pleasures of man and pleasing men and being with you know, something that men enjoy. We need to be worried about being in with God instead of being in with man. Number 13, we don't study God's Word. That, like I said, is about a big problem with we fail to read our Bible. If you don't study God's Word, if you're not educated in God's Word, what's the point? You don't really care about God because you're not seeking Him and His righteousness. And faith comes by the word of God, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So therefore, we need to be looking to study our Bibles at all times, as much as possible, to gain in knowledge, so that we can live a more Christ-like life, and bring ourselves closer to God. Number 14, we believe in science's story of evolution. I believe evolution is one of the biggest lies that science has ever put forth into this world, and I believe it is used, something that Satan has used to deceive people away from God for a very long time, and I believe he's going to continue to use it to deceive people away from God, because of the idea that this slow, steady change, because this is so much different than what God said. God said he made the animals, and, you know, each animal after their own kind, and that's the way it was. Whereas evolution says, oh no, we all came from a single ancestor, and that all kinds are the same kind, because ultimately, if you go back far enough, we all evolved from the same source. And that is something that is contrary to what the Word of God says in Genesis. And anything that goes against the Word of God is, I'm sorry, wrong. You know, and that's just how I see it. Number 15, we see a sunset and fail to know the truth. And that truth is that God created that sunset and that God loves you. And that there is a plan for salvation found in the Bible. Number 16, we seek our own way. You know, there's a way that seems right to man, but the way, the ends thereof are death. Just because, or like the old saying goes, hell is paved in good intentions. The road to hell is paved in good intentions. You know, we seek our own way contrary to what God wants and what God thinks and what God wants, you know, desires for our lives, and oftentimes we end up in a real mess by doing that. But it doesn't stop us from repeatedly seeking our own way. 17. We follow those who are not following Him. We become enamored by leaders, charismatic people that are not going after God, that are going after their own lust, their own greed, that have, you know, are laying upon themselves doctrines of devils and things like that, and not having sound doctrine. 18. We don't stand strong even when others fall away. You know, others fall away and we tend to fall with them. We don't stand strong for God in the face of adversity. We tend to wither away and do as everyone else does and not be champions for God, which is what we need to be. Number 19, we walk by someone in need. How many times a day do we walk by people who need us, who really need something in this life that we could actually affect, something we could do, something we could give them, and we don't do anything for them? That's a real problem. Number 20, we fail to stop and help a stranded driver. Now, this is something we used to not do. I mean, remember my family when I was a kid, my dad used to always stop and help stranded drivers. But nowadays, everybody's got cell phones and AAA and all that, and, you know, nobody stops to help anymore. Nobody stops to take care of it, you know, people in need anymore. And that is not the kind of attitude that God tells us we need to have when it comes to serving each other and taking care of the brethren. Okay, 21, we fail to serve the poor. Same basic condition there. The poor is with us, and we could do so much for them, but we choose not to because we would rather hoard and keep our things for ourselves. 22, we fail to bind up the brokenhearted. You know, there are people who need encouragement. There are suicides that happen every day that if somebody reached out and helped them, showed them God's love and showed them compassion and caring in their life, maybe they wouldn't be dead right now. Maybe they wouldn't be suicides. Maybe they would have their broken heart mended and things would be different. And we would have one more person following Christ. Let's see, where are we? 23, we fail to ask when someone is hurting. We don't want to know. We don't want to know there's a responsibility that we have to each other to take care of each other. We don't want to know if you're hurting, because if I know you're hurting, then I'm supposed to do something about it. And I don't want to do anything about it, so therefore I just ignore your condition completely. And that is not love thy neighbor as thyself. 24, we ask how someone is doing when all we really want is to be on our way. We're not sincere. We're not asking them to be honest. We're not asking them because we honestly care. We're doing it because it's a social nicety. is something that's expected of us. And so that's what we're doing. We're doing this expectation of us, trying to make ourselves get through the day faster so we don't have to deal with the people that we're dealing with. 25. We believe we did something ourselves. You know, you don't do anything. Christ does everything through you. And there is none of this whole, you know, oh, look at what I accomplished, because your accomplishments are nothing compared to God. Okay, 26. We fail to give all the glory to God. We tend to think, oh, this is my accomplishment. This is what I did. This is, you know, something that only without me is wouldn't exist. But we need to know that we need to give all glory to God for all things, because it's only through God that we even have existence, that we even have life to do anything that we think we do. It is only through God that whatever happens, happens. It is only by the existence of God's creation that we even have what we have. So we need to give all glory to God for all things. 27. We fail to consider others better than ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. And that is one of the hardest things to do, and is one of the rarest things you find nowadays. No one is humble anymore. We all think we're better than you. You know, we all think we're better than everybody else. And that is absolutely the wrong mindset to have, because Jesus Christ came down on this planet. He's God, right? Think about this. He is God. And with all the glory that goes with that, and he took on the form of a man and humbled himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross. That is how humble he made himself. He had all glory and power and let it go just to save, to do something to save us, to be a propitiation for our sins, to be a mediator, to make intercession, to cleanse us with his blood. You know, so we need to consider ourselves less than everyone else, because God himself considered it not, you know, considered, come down and was humble enough to take on the form of Christ and the form of a man and die on a cross. When he could have, you know, called forth, you know, 10,000 legions of angels to eradicate everyone who ever stood in his way. You know, I mean, he could have done anything he wanted, but he said, I'm going to do this for man, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We fail, number 28, we fail to tithe. I think we need to give to God what is God. Number 29, we fail to go the extra mile for others. You know, there's an old Indian saying, if somebody asks you to walk a mile in his shoes, walk two. You know, and that's a good point. We need to go further with people than what they expect. We need to go further with people than what we expect. We need to be there for others the best we can, because Jesus said, love each other as I have loved you. So we need to, and he loved us to the point of death. So we need to go as far as we can with each other, to try to replicate that love, to show the love that Jesus had for every one of us. We need to be like Jesus as much as we can. He loved us that much, so we need to love each other that much too. 30. We fail to see the world through others' eyes. All we care about is the view from our side. We don't care about what other people see, how our actions might affect other people, and how it could hurt them, and the things that we could do to make everyone's life, you know, someone's life easier, that we fail to do because we're only caught up in our own selfish needs and desires. Number 31, we fail to act when God tells us to. God is talking to us and moves on our hearts to do things, and a lot of times we fail to do it. We ignore God, we ignore that little voice on the inside of us that says, you know, do this, do the right thing, take care of business. And, you know, God is saying, hey, this is an opportunity for you to do good. This is an opportunity for you to serve me. And a lot of times we let those opportunities just pass us by. 32. We fail to speak when we know our words will make a difference. So many times there's, you know, if we would just speak up and say something, it could change everything for everybody, or change everything for somebody. You know, and it doesn't matter necessarily how many people's lives it changes. If it only changes one person's life, if it changes it for the better, is it not worth it? Okay. We 33. We fail to try to lead others to Christ because that's embarrassing. That's a shameful thing. Nobody wants to share the gospel. Romans 1:16 says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power to save both the Jew and the Greek." Right? I mean, something quite, I might be paraphrasing that a little bit. But I mean, it is, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ," is right there. And we need to have and understand that we cannot be ashamed of Christ. Okay. 34. We fail to disciple others. We don't train each other. We don't try to reach out to others. We don't try to spread our religion to others. We don't try to, raise up each other in Christ, and that's a real problem. 35. We fail to seek to be discipled by others. We don't look to learn. We're not making people better, and we're not trying to get better ourselves. 36. We fail to seek godly counsel. No, we seek worldly counsel. And instead, we would rather talk to the world and see what Dr. Phil has to say about it, instead of seeing what God has to say about something. 37. We fail to listen to godly counsel. And when we do get it, we don't do it. 38. We fail to be obedient. We need to be obedient in all things. Number 39. We fail to be a team player with other Christians. We need to be involved with the brethren. It needs to be, we don't need strife in the brethren. We need to have fellowship, and we need to work together because we're all on the same mission here. Number 40, we fail to see our place as part of the body of Christ. Oh, we don't have time for all that business. We're too busy with our own lives. We don't understand that we are important, or that we have a place in this situation. Number 41, we fail to be the part of the body of Christ that God desires. You know, we don't try to please God. We don't seek out His will. We just go about our lives and try to please ourselves. 42, we serve the church while failing our spouses. We get a lot of times, some people get wrapped up in doing things for the church where they absolutely fail their spouses. You know, and that's not necessarily what we're supposed to be doing. 43, we serve the church while failing our children. This is the same basic principle. You know, nobody said just serving the church is a great thing, but necessarily to the point of exclusion of others makes you, makes me worry that you would be in a situation where you would be almost in an idolatrous situation where either the church or theology itself is taking an idolatrous position in your life and you're not taking care of business like you should be. 44. We fail on mission to serve on mission trips locally in our own neighborhoods, work, school, and all aspects of our lives. If you want to win souls, you don't need to go to Kenya to do it. You don't need to go to Brazil. You don't need to go to Panama. You don't need to go anywhere. You can go right down the street and find somebody that you can affect for God. You know, it doesn't have to be something halfway across the world. And we fail to realize that we need to get to work spreading the gospel here, where we live. 45, we fail to keep our commitments. We make promises, we break them. We say, "Oh, I'm going to do this," and we don't. Number 46, we fail to make commitments we should. Instead of actually saying, "Okay, I'm going to take care of this, I'm going to do this, this is important, this is something that needs to be done," we just let it go and go watch football instead or do something else instead. We need to make commitments to the commitments that are expected of us by God and, our needs spiritually. 47, we talk more than we listen. Oh, and I know I'm guilty of that one for sure. You know, it is so easy to want to speak and speak and speak on Christ and speak on God and speak on faith and not listen. And sometimes the hardest thing is to stop and just listen and gain knowledge and information and learn from others. 48, we are relentlessly committed to our being right. And that is something that is absolutely true because, I mean, there's some points on this podcast that I may have kind of missed the mark on. Just, I'm sitting here doing a raw reaction. I guess I should have explained that at the beginning. This is a raw reaction to the list. I haven't really gone through, read them all completely one by one all the way through before doing this because I wanted to have a more real response in this situation and kind of go more off the handle a little bit. And I probably missed a few points. I probably went off and left deep left field on a couple points. And, you know, I'm not committed to being right. I'm committed to doing my best, but I'm not committed to being right. So if you want to write me and say, hey, dude, you got that wrong, I think this is what it means, please, please do. Because it's not about me telling you something as much as it is about me trying to do the best I can and learn what I can. Okay? 49. We accept praise as acknowledgement of our effort. You know, we need to give all praise over to God. We need to not be egotistical about ourselves, and we need to turn to God in all situations and all things and not let ourselves be eaten up and eaten alive by this thing that is praise for ourselves that turns into egotisticalism and egomania, and, you know, then all of a sudden you have the sin of pride. So we definitely need to stay away from that. And the last one that we're going to do today is number 50. We fail to pray. This is a huge failure, and this is what I'm going to talk about for a few minutes here. Me and my mother were actually discussing how prayer is such an integral part of Christian life, but yet so many people don't know how to do it right. So many people will tell you they don't know how to pray, or they don't pray because they don't get it. You know, I'm reminded of that cartoon, King of the Hill, to where Hank comes on, and one time he does a prayer, and he says, "Dear God, Hank Hill, assistant manager, Strickland Propane," kind of thing. And it's like just that whole mindset is that, you know, he only doesn't ever pray at all and doesn't really know how to pray. And, you know, goes about it like he has to identify himself to the Almighty and all that. You know, and so many Christians don't pray before dinners. They don't pray before anything because they don't know how. And they're afraid to do it wrong, or they're just embarrassed. Like, you know, oh, I'll be a Christian. I'll believe Jesus was raised from the dead. But talking to an invisible man in the sky is just too much for me. I can't do that. And they don't seem to realize that God is truth and God is real, and that prayer is our way of communing with God and coming to God and sharing our concerns with God and from being in a friendship with God. You know, and it's important. We need to pray as much as possible. It says in the Bible, pray without ceasing. You know, and yet there's so many people here that have this idea that, you know, you formulate your public prayer for in case you get called on at the Thanksgiving to give the prayer. But other than that, that's the only time people pray. And that's a real problem for Christians. And I can see why, you know, I understand why some people have problems with praying, but you have to do it. It's one of these type of things that we have to study. We've done studies before. I don't know if I have any episodes currently up that are about prayer, but I'm fixing to do another one because it is such an important issue. Prayer is central to a Christian's life and needs to be something that we are effective at, and something that we do a lot. So you need to go ahead and open up in prayer. You need to pray. Pray quietly when you're, you know, do your own prayers. Silently in your head with God. Get on your knees in your closet and pray to God and let Him know what's going on. We'll talk about some of the different ways to prayer. We've talked about the Lord's Prayer being a model prayer and things like that before. And we'll go over those again, like I said, here real soon. But praying is something that is incredibly important. And so many Christians just don't do it. And that's really an issue. Alright, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up right here. We're just about at half an hour. And here lately I've been feeling like half an hour is a good time limit for us. I'm thinking about you doing a YouTube video over some of the earlier episodes. I'm nowhere near. I'm still learning how to do all this video stuff. So it may not be very good or what have you. But I'm going to try to give it a shot, I think, I'm going to be reviewing the Everyday Occult Symbols episodes that we did, which was actually episode 6 and 7. Can you believe it? This is episode 149, I believe, and that was 6 and 7. So, it's been a little while, so it's going to be maybe a nice review over some of the information and all that, and we'll try to get that going here pretty soon. Like I said, email me if you don't like what I said, you think I'm a little bit off, whatever you want. If you love me, if you hate me, either way, email me. Let me know. I would love to hear from you. Check me out on the Facebook. I go by Joe Smart Faith on there. You can look me up there. So I Twitter on a rare occasion, that Smart Faith PCast. Very rare occasion, but it's up there too. All right, I guess that will do it for us. And until next time, my friends, God bless.